Just recently, I used an illustration about a woman named Hattie Green. A long time ago, but it wouldn't matter if it was today, I don't believe anybody in this room would understand her. The story I will tell you again very briefly is she's a sad demonstration, this note says, of what it's like to be among the living dead. When Hattie died, her estate was valued at over $100 million. I read another story that said it was valued at $200 million, but she was rich back in the turn of the century. Hattie, however, lived in poverty. She ate cold oatmeal because she didn't want to spend the money to heat it. When her son's leg became infected, Hattie wouldn't get it treated until she could find a clinic that would do it for free. Waiting so long, her son's leg had to be amputated. This note says that Hattie died arguing over the value of drinking skim milk. She had money to meet every need, but she chose to live as though her money did not exist. We don't understand that in our culture, do we? There are so many people who have unique feelings about money. I read this week in thinking about this message about millionaires, multi-billionaires who are living out of a suitcase. I read about one of the very richest men in the world who has sold every possession that he has, and he travels to do his business and lives in hotels and owns nothing more personally, his personal items. He owns nothing more than what he can carry in a suitcase. Now, we don't understand that, do we? Most everybody in this room seems to want a little bit more. Why, if I had another $100 a week or $500 a month, or if I had, and we start talking, well, I could do this and I could do that. And we want to live at a higher rate than we have the money for. That would be more the norm in America. We would understand that. If we talk about someone who has credit card debts up to here, we understand it because it's all around us. It is all around us. People who want to live as though they have a lot of money when they really, really don't. Money does something to us. I would agree that not having money does something to us as well. Billy did a good job this morning of talking about heaven and the kind of place it is. And the scripture reading tonight is telling us what a fantastic place heaven is. And I'm going to guess, I think I've told you before, that at one point when I was a teenager, I was loving life so much, having such a great time, that I even said to somebody, if the Lord would leave me alone right here, in this setting, with this much fun, with all my friends, with so many great things going on, I wouldn't even care if I ever went to heaven or not. Boy, is that a lack of understanding about life. Because life changes minute by minute by minute. You see, just since I started this few sentences about me being a teenager at one point, you've gotten older. And life is going to change. All of us are getting older by the moment. And life is going to change. And things are going to change. Life will not stay the same. We can be sure of that. It is appointed unto all men once to die, and after this the judgment. Have you ever heard that passage before? It's real. All we have to do is hang around a little bit, and we're going to see that. Tonight, Billy read about a young man who would walk away from eternal life. Can you believe that? We don't understand that just on the surface, do we? If we say, you've got a chance for eternal life right here, would you say, that's okay, I'll leave that behind. I want to go over here. I like this better than eternal life. We don't get that in a sense, do we? But I believe in a practical sense, we do get it. So here's a young man. Who was he? Well, Mark 10:17 says, in one translation, one came to Jesus. Another says, a man came to Jesus. And you have to go over to Matthew to find out that he was a young man. And then you can look in Luke's account, and we see that he was a ruler. And so we come up with the topic or the title for this young man, The Rich Young Ruler. Wouldn't that be neat? Wouldn't you like to have a ton of money? Wouldn't you like to have a ton of authority? Wouldn't you like to have the youth to live it out and be strong in body and mind and just be who you want to be and do what you want to do, go where you want to go, eat what you want to eat, wear what you want to wear? Well, wouldn't that be neat? That's what we have here. A rich young man of authority who was a ruler. But he had a question. Life is not really all that simple. It seems so some moments, but boy, that's one of those things that changes. Life is not simple. Everybody has questions of one kind or another. Or you're dead while you're living because you aren't thinking clearly. Here's a young man that had a question. His question was, what must I do to inherit eternal life? You see, first of all, it seems as though he did not believe that he had it. He had some questions in his mind about eternal life. And you ought to be thinking tonight about your faith, your view. What about eternal life? Do you have a hold of it right now? Do you possess it now? We can talk about physical death. It is appointed to every one of us to die physically, but not one of us who is accountable before God has to die spiritually. That would be our choice. That'll be something we choose. We don't have a choice about physical death. It's coming. It may be when you are young, those of you that are young. It may be in middle age, those of you that are middle age. And we know it's for old people, don't we? But every one of us will die. No one of us has to die spiritually. God tells us if we are in Him and if we're faithful, we have eternal life now. We started that life that can be everlasting if we live close to God. So here's a guy who did not believe exactly what I believe about eternal life. I believe I possess it now. I believe my soul is alive unto God, dead unto sin. It's not because I'm good. It's because God is good. It's because of God's grace and God's mercy and God's love. But I do not ever have to die. My life can continue on and on and on with God. But here's a guy who says, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? Well, now, he didn't ask this question because he'd been out there somewhere away from religion. He'd been going to church, if you'll let me say it that way. He knew what God's message was about a lot of things, apparently. And so he comes and he says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Boy, I have had students over the years come to me and said, what do I need to make an A? What do I need to do to make an A? Well, I've done those things. Boy, don't you love that? If you've done what the teacher says you need to do, if you have this and this and this and this, you've got an A. And they say, well, I've got that. I've got that. They have loved that. Well, here's this young man who had a response from Jesus that he absolutely loved. Jesus said, you know the commandments. And then he lists six of the Ten Commandments, and all six of these have to do with interrelationships with other human beings. There's no mention of a relationship directly to God, but here's the relationship that we ought to have with each other. Take care of these things. Here's a guy who loved that because his response was, I have kept these things from my youth up. Boy, he's got to be smiling. He's got to be feeling good. He's got the A in religion, and he's thinking, eternal life. I've got it. Very quick response from this young man. I'm good to go. I've got it. I've done it. I'm ready. Where is eternal life? And you would think this young man is expecting Jesus to say, well, it's right over here. Just come sit in this seat and you've got it. You don't have anything to worry about. But this young man was about to hear a shocking response that was going to interrupt his religious life in a major way. He may not have thought so as he walked away from eternal life. I love this statement in verse 21, Mark 10. Have you ever seen anybody walking away from eternal life? I've seen lots of people walking away from eternal life. Who would choose this relationship here in this world over a right relationship with God? Who would choose this lifestyle over a lifestyle of relating to God and to God's people in an appropriate way? And so they make those choices and they're walking away from God. Let me ask you this. I believe everybody in this room accountable before God has seen people walking away from God. How did you feel about them? I've been filled with indignation. I've been so frustrated. I've been so angry. I have said the wrong things. I've thought the wrong things. And I'm thinking, how could you do this to me? How could you do this to the church? How could you do this, most of all, to God? They're walking away from God. And I have to tell you, I really haven't done well some moments in my life watching some people walk away from God. But this statement is where I would love to be every time. But it's so hard. Jesus felt genuine love for this young man. Jesus understood, because the Bible tells us that he was tempted in every point like as we, yet was without sin. Think about what the devil offered him in that temptation story in Matthew chapter 4 and Luke chapter 4. He was offered the whole world, anything, the world, any power, any authority, any riches. He was offered all of that. And some people I've heard say, well, that wasn't really a temptation. Yeah, I believe it was. The devil was trying to entice Jesus to sin. That's what a temptation is, when someone's trying to pull us away from God and from spiritual things. Jesus was tempted unthinkably. It would have been almost impossible for any one of us to withstand that kind and that strong, that great a temptation. But when this young man was walking away from the Son of God, walking away from eternal life, rejecting it, Jesus had genuine love for him. Now, we might look at Jesus and think, boy, you're pretty tough on that kid. He was a young man. He was a commandment keeper. Look, he's a good guy. He goes to church. He understands the word. He studies. He's a good guy. And you're telling me that he is not going to inherit eternal life? You see, there are people in our world today that would say, that cannot be the God of the Bible talking. What Jesus did was what we might label as some tough love. What Jesus told him was going to be extremely hard. Nothing easy about it. And if you think about it, you think about what it would mean to you if you had to, in order to receive eternal life, take whatever possessions that you've worked so hard to get. Sell all of that and take what you have in terms of wealth and give it to the poor and come and follow Jesus in the lifestyle that he lived. To receive the things that Jesus received in this world. It'd be hard for any of us. We read the story of the rich young ruler. We think, what are you thinking, man? Well, this is really what he was thinking. It seems like. Because you see, that's what I would be thinking. That top statement up there, it would be a joke. What do you mean? I've got to give up everything I have. That's not reasonable. God would not expect that. He expected it at least this once, didn't he? You see, you read the bottom caption. Sometimes, before we become saved, we have to believe we're lost. There are people that believe because they are good. because they keep a commandment, because they do donate to some charity, because they are kind in certain ways to many people. They see themselves as good to go. They have to be pleasing to God. Everybody talks about what a good guy they are. They've got to be pleasing to God. Can you imagine the indignation with which his brothers, and I'm talking about his Jewish brothers who were commandment keepers as well, when Jesus overlooked, it seems like, the fact that this guy kept the commandments from his youth up. You see, here's a guy who did not feel the need for eternal life. He raised the question. And most likely, it seems to me, you may have a different point of view, but it seems to me he raised the question because he thought he had it. He thought he had it. But when Jesus told him the one thing that he lacked, he did not seem to believe it, to need it. This young man was disheartened. I've talked with some people who would say, I see what God says, but I'm not ready to do that yet. And they walk away. Some of them never come back. Some of those people are our children. They walk away. Jesus has seen them walk away as we have. And as we think about that, those people who want to live the way they want to live and be involved in the things that they want to be involved in, surely they are like this rich young man. They're disheartened. I wish I could have eternal life, but I want this lifestyle as well. And God is saying, you've got to make a choice. So he was disheartened, and it hurt his feelings, and he was sad. And in this case, God tells us the reason. He had great possessions. What if you'd have been there? What if you had been listening to Jesus and you knew this young man and you knew what a good guy he was? You knew what a commandment keeper he was. How would you have felt about the Lord? How would you have felt about your own religion? How would you have felt about religion in general? You see, it raised some questions in the minds of those people that walked with him every day of his earthly ministry. They didn't say, oh yeah, I got that. I understand that, Lord. They had some questions. They were greatly astounded and said to one another, well, who can be saved? Aren't there people in our world when they study the Bible and they see God's requirements stated clearly in the Bible? They'll say, God could not expect people to do that. I don't believe God would require people to do that. If you've got to do all of those things, nobody can be saved. There are many people thinking that tonight. And so they don't even try. They give up. They think you have to be perfect. They think you have to be an absolute commandment keeper, never violating one thing, because does not the book of James teach us that when we become guilty in one point, we become guilty of all? Who can be saved? How could we ever overcome what life offers us and reach out to eternal life? Who can be saved? Well, for one thing, we understand some things that people will put into writing. I wish I had the ability to say things like this. I'm just grateful I have the ability to read them and think about them. Because you see, this is what God wants from us. God isn't concerned whether tonight you have money or you don't. He doesn't care if you have a big house or a small house or a big car or a little car, a rich car or nothing kind of car. He doesn't care. He's interested in what's coming from your heart tonight. To be rich is not what you have in your bank account, but what you have in your heart. That's why God consistently teaches us, for example, as the Old Testament passage, guard your heart. For out of it flow the springs of life. This is where life really comes from. Well, what kind of life do you have? Well, let me look in my bank account and see what I'm able to do. That's not it. Let me see how much I owe on my house or my car or credit cards or whatever. That's not it. God is looking at your heart. What is in your heart? If you're a rich person tonight in God's view, it's because of what you have in your heart. Someone said the problem with the rich young ruler was not that he had riches. Some of God's most faithful, dedicated people that God used were wealthy according to the world standards. But it's not whether you're rich or not. It's whether your riches have you or not. And that was one of the problems with the rich young ruler as we think about this great story. As you think about this story, here are some ideas for you to think about to make your response in life. Peter had said, "Lord, look at us. We've left everything for you. We've done what you asked the rich young ruler to do. How do we stand?" Well, Jesus responded in a way that we love. So that if we give, we know that God's going to bless us. If we respond in a similar way to Peter and James and John and the other disciples, we're going to do well. Jesus said, anybody that's given up anything, and he mentions lands and houses and mothers and fathers and husbands and wives, in order to serve God, not just to dump them and get rid of them because you're tired of living with them, but in order to serve God in an appropriate way, you're going to receive 100-fold in this world and in the world to come. God says, I'll pay you back. You will, in a sense, generally get what you give. So the disciples saw Jesus as Savior and Lord. Now think about this. The rich young ruler saw Jesus only as the Savior. When the Lord gave a directive, a command, the rich young ruler said, I'll take your salvation, but I won't take your lordship. I will not do what you ask me to do. I may go away sad, but I am not going to do what you ask me to do. We don't have any record of the rich young ruler ever saying, well, wait a minute, I made a mistake. I want eternal life and coming back. He accepted Jesus as Savior. He thought Jesus could give him eternal life. But he wasn't ready to do what the Lord and Master said. The disciples desired the righteousness of Christ. This rich young man appeared to be somewhat self-righteous. I've done all of these things from my youth up. Where is my eternal life? It's not altogether about what you do. That's a really hard concept for us. This thing about faith only, or works only. Neither one of them is right. You cannot work your way into heaven. You can't earn heaven. It's going to be by the grace of God, but you will never step one spiritual foot in heaven without doing what Jesus as Lord says. Jesus said, why do you call me Lord and you don't do the things that I say? There's no lordship where there's no obedience to the commands of the Master. The disciples were humble. They chose to give up the earthly things that they possessed. This young man had so much pride, so much need for his wealth, he hung on to it. They weren't attached to their possessions. Obviously, he was. They believed that all things belonged to the Lord. He believed his things belonged to him. Remember this night, your soul is required of you. Whose then will all these things be? From the story of the rich farmer in Luke chapter 12. Not going to take it with us. Whatever we have is going to be left behind for someone else. He believed his possessions belonged to him. They're actually on loan until we leave this world. The disciples focused on the salvation of men. This young man focused on his possessions and the things that he could have. These disciples, we're told, received the crown of glory. This young man walked away from eternal life. And so far as we can tell, he lost his soul. I don't know if you can see that well enough to read it or not, but if you go back up in the text in Matthew chapter 10, you're going to see in verse 15, Jesus says, "I tell you the truth. Anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will not enter it." I don't know what you're thinking tonight about the rich young ruler. I don't know what you're thinking about your possessions and your life and your choices, but I know this. I know the Lord knows our hearts. And unless we receive the kingdom, the message of God, the kingdom of God, like a little child, openly believing that He will give what He says. When He teaches us, as Billy pointed out in his message this morning, our need to make a great confession to the world that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, to turn away from our sin and be buried with Christ in baptism, to trust that God means what He says, so that when we read, "Why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord," we won't do a lot of thinking and philosophizing. We're going to accept Jesus as His, at His word, and accept that message like a little child would accept that message. There are people who've been faithful Christians in the past who cannot, for some reason, convince themselves that if they turn back to the Lord, He will completely clean them up spiritually. If tonight you're in this room and you need to respond as a child of God to change your life, to have the Lord clean up your life, to leave this building a new creation once again, you don't believe God can do that, you can't enter the kingdom of God eternally. So we have a choice, like the rich young ruler said. And this may not be your last time, but it may be your last time. But if you're in need of a response to come to the Lord, and you walk out of the building without making it, can you see yourself walking away from eternal life? Because that's what you're doing. And so we offer God's invitation to you. If you have a need, come to the front as we stand and as we sing.